Welcome to a very special, well, we think it's special, bonus edition of the Making Waves podcast. We've done 8 episodes of the podcast now, and we're calling that the end of series one, bar this bonus episode. The podcast's gone very well. Like, why do we do the podcast? Well, it's it was giving our customers a platform to come on and talk about their business, kind of like helps them like promote what they're doing and what they're about, and in many cases pushing people out of the comfort zone. Going on camera is not an easy thing to do.
Definitely not.
We're certainly not naturals at it, but we find the more we do it, the easier it becomes. So yeah, that's one reason. It's just it's a nod back to our customers. We're certainly not monetizing the podcast in any way, and it's not sponsored, nor will it ever be.
No. I think for me as well, it's really interesting to hear people's stories. I mean, we both have a personal interest in what we are doing and what we're trying to achieve. And I think it's always good to learn from people, and the more stories that you listen to, the more that you learn, and hopefully people can learn from our story. I think it's really important that people speak out about business, and particularly in a relatively small community like what we have. I think it's definitely the way to go.
Yeah, we had a couple in our office this afternoon who were setting up a business and going self-employed, and I think they got like, don't get me wrong, we're no business gurus or experts. Mason Brothers is 2 years old, and I've been on it full time around about 6 months. Steve's been on it full time a couple of months, so like, we're absolutely in our infancy. But I think like the journey and rollercoaster and ups and downs so far, I think it's been useful for other startups. So. Big thank you for everybody who's put themselves out there and come on. We're going to be back, and we're going to do a second series of it. We're going to revamp. We're going to have a go and have a think probably for a month or two. Go and have a revamp and try and make it possibly shorter, snappier. Any feedback welcome. We do get snippets of feedback, which is good. If anyone's out there thinking that they fancy coming on or coming in for a chat, obviously, you know how to contact us.
Yeah.
Bonus edition. We thought we'd do one with just us two, didn't we?
Yeah. Talk a little bit about our transition into the business. We've got two separate stories in a way, so we're going to talk a little bit about that, and. Just a general Chris and Steve pod.
Yeah, just to put a bit of context in it, it's Friday night, 6th of September, the eve of Steve's 29th birthday. So we might possibly look back on this podcast in 10 years' time and see if we're both talking total bollocks or not.
Yeah, look back in 10 years' time and think, Christ, we're old now.
Yeah, we've still both got hair colour. Let's see what sort of goes. So yeah, we'll talk about our journeys into business and we'll chat about where we want to take it. And we'll probably revisit in a decade. So I don't know, where should we start? You or me?
Yeah, we'll start with you.
Yeah.
We'll go along the lines of why a print business, the background into why it's a print business, and a little bit about Mason Brothers itself. Why is it called Mason Brothers, and what's the Mason Brothers ethics?
Yeah, okay. So why print for me? Like, it sounds a bit cliche, but go right back to 1999. I'm in the last year of the last couple of years of primary school, and Tony Blair's Labour Prime Minister. And he's on telly doing speeches about, but at this point we've got computers at school, desktop publishing at school. It was kind of like maybe like one for the year, so it'd be sort of take it in turns to go on and do some work, basic word processing and stuff on it. But so kind of, not a very good writer, possibly dyslexic, not been tested for that, but my fiance will probably vouch for me and say that I am definitely on the spectrum somewhere along the line. So yeah, word processing always helped. I think all my coursework and whatnot, intersection school is all word processed. But anyway, back to primary school, 1999. Tony Blair's on telly spouting off about how he's wanting to get computers into every household. And I'm thinking, oh, that's never going to happen, we're never going to be able to afford it, etc, etc. And then we end up getting one. Mum and stepdad will probably have, I don't know how they managed it. There might have been some grants or loans or something, but we end up getting one.
Catalogue.
Case catalogue, £3.50 a week for the rest of your life, and some. Yeah. But yeah, so at 99, I'll have been age 10, 11, and computer turned up in the house in the corner. Do you remember?
I do, yeah.
The first computer.
Yeah.
Dial up internet. I remember mum having a tin next to it, where like we had to put, it was like a penny a minute or something, you wanted to go on the internet literally I had to do some homework, I had to do some chores to be like given 50p to go on the internet for like,
it took 10 minutes to load a picture back in.
It literally did, right? So you had like, obviously big football fans, I'd go on my United website, type in manunited.com and hit enter, and yeah, you'd literally be like, yeah, you'd see it like really slowly
loaded.
But I found myself suddenly you had all the information at your fingertips. And I was doing things like going on Wikipedia and like manunited.com and extracting information and photos of David Beckham at the time. Literally just extracting it all, making it look pretty, and putting it into desktop publishing software and printing it off and stapling it and calling it a book. So I was like, I just had a thing for producing something and having a tactile thing in your hand to be able to give to somebody.
Yeah.
Like right back then, and like with mum and people around, or with Christmas dinner or whatever, I'd make name cards and.
Yeah, I seem to remember you doing your own version of David Beckham biography.
Yeah,
and printing that out, I remember that.
Yeah, do name cards and like invites and like make my own birthday and Christmas cards. So like, it just all stemmed in that really, like back at that age. And then obviously fast forwarding into secondary school, I touched on all, like I didn't really do any work unless it was typed or on the computer. I've got a pile of textbooks up in the loft, where I've like wrote the name and date like in a class and like underlined, and then I've gone and typed it like back up when I've got home, because I just struggle to write. And then yeah, so going into secondary school, I remember we had work experience and I was interested in design and graphics and whatnot, and we had a company called Pin the Set at the time, which is now Yell. And they basically compile all the adverts for the Yellow Pages. Did like design and compile the adverts for Yellow Pages. Yeah. Like not just the ones that require a design, but the ones that, some of them were just text and some of them were just a line, like checking phone numbers and stuff. So I was there for two weeks. Fully enjoyed it. And I ended up designing an advert for a company called Jay's Nails. And I think they all got approved and printed. So like first print job, I was sort of 15. First live design and print job, like proper commercial, I was like 15. And I think it went in like Derby or the Midlands, one of them Yellow Pages. But there's a proof of it somewhere in the loft. but I've tried to search that company now and I don't think they exist. But I don't think it's definitely not related to my advert.
The advert. I'm sure they got good use out of your advert.
Yeah. So that was that too. But then sort of 2 weeks in front of a Mac learning. It was great, like learning different tricks and stuff in Photoshop. I couldn't sit at a desk, so I needed to be hands-on. So when I was due to leave school, like apprenticeships were coming up at Pinder and 100 people applied, including myself. I applied for, they had apprentices as a printer and apprentices as customer service rep. I applied for both. I was about to get took on as a customer service rep apprentice, But then we had to do aptitude tests, and I got 100% for the technical or mechanical part of it. And then a few conversations I had internally, it was like, right, no, we want it on the pressure, which is where I wanted to be. I wanted to go and be hands-on and learn and print. So, yeah, got the apprenticeship in 2005. Worked my way up there from apprentice to number one printer in 8 years, and then got to the top of the game, really. I was running like one of the biggest presses in there. Hard work. Running a 48-page press. We could basically do a 48-page A4 section of a book or a magazine. You do like 30,000 of them in around about an hour, so it's like very pacey. Four men working with you on that machine to make it happen. It was so a bit of man management came in, and yeah, I was just sort of sat for a year or two, and I thought I couldn't go any further shop floor wise. I was asking the company at the time to go and learn it, because I was interested in the business side of it. I was asking the company for me to go out with a salesman and learn about that, and they were like, nah, you're paid to print, so shut up and get on with it type thing. So I don't know, I was just itching, like there was no mortgage for me at the time, no kids, and just had a thirst to learn more, learn about the rest of the industry. So that's where like the webmat came along. So we've got a trade magazine called Print Week, and I was up in 2009. I was up for Student of the Year, so I got into the top three of that. Didn't win it, but the day after, Webmart approached me via the college I was training at as part of my apprenticeship. But like the drop in money between like printing and going into the print management world was like too massive, and I dismissed it at the time. But I always kept an eye on them.
Yeah, from a production shift pattern and the enhancement on your wage on a shift pattern to going into
as a printer working on shifts, you get paid a wage for being a printer, and then it's a 40% premium for working continental shifts on top. And as a young lad at the time, working 12-hour continental shifts wasn't really a problem. You just sat it up and enjoyed the time off. Like, literally worked hard, played hard, and enjoyed them days off. But working with a lot of older blokes, and you realise that you don't want to be tired and having kids doing them shifts. It's definitely a young sort of single bloke lifestyle type thing. Ideally, I mean, everyone each to their own and all that lot, but for me, I thought, yeah, I can't have a full career working these shifts. So anyway, yeah, Webmat approached me after the Print Week Awards. I saw my name plastered about a bit, and Webmat were always big on getting the good young talent in there. And at one point, me and the winner that night were both working at Webmat at the same time. Shout out to you, Richard, if you do happen to be listening. Yeah, in a weird twist of fate, it was like 5 years down the line, both ended up working together. But, when Matt approached me, I politely declined, but kept an eye on him for 4 or 5 years. And then, I had this thirst for knowledge, and I could just see that where Matt were forward-thinking company doing good things, and like the owner there, site, Mr. Simon Bilcliffe, mentioned him a few times in this podcast so far. He... And lots of YouTube videos and a bit of a name within the industry. So I just rang him up and said, look, have you got anything going? I want to learn the business then, ready to take a drop of money, not really bothered, just want to learn and grow. So I had a pint with Simon in 2013, I think it was, at Leeds Railway Station, Wetherspoons, and it was one of them, like, it was kind of a bit of an interview, but I thought, no, I'll just be completely myself. So I dressed how I normally dress, went in and thought, yeah, he asked if I wanted a drink, and I thought, at that moment in my life, I felt like I wanted a pint. I wasn't going to be polite and ask for water or tea. I had a pint, but I think he sees something in that. Like, just being real, being yourself. So yeah, definitely. I had a pint over him, had a good chat for an hour. We left, and then within 5 minutes of leaving that stage, he said, right, we want you in, we've got something for you. So I went in as a project manager. So basically, I had 8 years of like hands-on technical print behind me, none of like the business end and speaking to customers and dealing with customers. So I walked up to Bista, and on my desk was a phone and a laptop.
All the best.
But you felt mint because they'd actually prepared for you coming down there, and like your name was on the desk. And
yeah.
They'd take you out for lunch on your first day. So it was like...
I bet compared to a factory type setting, it'd be nice to feel a little bit wanted as well.
I couldn't believe that. It was overwhelming to begin with because, you're right, like factory, you're clocking in and out, not seeing daylight for 12 hours. And factory culture, anyone who's worked in a factory, like pros and cons, you kind of laugh at some point, but it's very intense, not for the faint-hearted. But yeah, I was just accustomed to that straight from school, skipped uni, and all that, like straight from school into that environment. So... yeah, going down there and like being treated nice, like a human being, was like, I remember saying, oh, thank God, they took me out for lunch, like welcome lunch on the first day at Pizza Express in Bicester. I was like, oh, thank you so much. Like, don't be saying thank you. Like, you'll be earning having that. It was just completely sort of it. So I think even on that very first day, I was learning about the business side of like printing the industry, as well as like how to actually run a company well and the right way. So I was learning, like without realising it, starting to learn both.
Yeah, I think it's quite surprising, even at the time when you come into something new like that, that you won't have even realised how much you were learning until we've set up this.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Like, is that I'm like shadowing, there's a lady called Kim Manley, and I was like shadowing her and a bloke called Simon Cooper. They were like two like really brilliant like project managers at the time. So I knew also that so basically they take a print project sort of from start to finish and make sure everything like lands and hits on time. But I only knew like the actual print on bit, the ink on paper, so sat there like that. But the way that they were wording emails, the way that they were working, the way that they were managing themselves and the time, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
But they literally taught me how to like write an email properly.
Yeah.
And because again, like talk about like word processing and stuff at school, I had an 8-year gap where I didn't. I was on the tools, so I didn't.
Yeah. I've never really been with that. Definitely.
Yeah. I was in there as like sort of project manager or even trainee project manager. So like, and I was at Webmap for 5 years. So within that 5 years, I learned to be a project manager and was one, and then learned to be an account manager and was one. So I looked after accounts I looked after the print for big national companies. I'm not going to name them just in case. Don't want to get into hot bother, but yeah, big national companies. Going into London for big names. And I think Webmark kind of encourage it, especially the boss, Simon. And a big nod to Mark Sprintle as well, who was also working at Webmark. All these people like taught me so well. I just kept my accent, made sure I speak clearly, politely, and just be myself, wear what I normally would wear, and just go on. And I think people just saw trust and honesty in it. I ended up doing like really, really well, like coming out and like, some deals like up to sort of £250,000, and you're like, God, you're in London, like you're in, not like a northerner in London as well. You kind of feel like
there's definitely a lot to be said for being yourself. I think a lot of people do warm to it, and it will get results, definitely.
Yeah,
it's something that we like to incorporate into Mars and Brothers, and it's a lot of, we've had a little bit of feedback on it ourselves. Like, if you are yourself, it's almost a selling point for us in a way. It's just a bit of sincerity.
Yeah, it's actually easy as well. Like, if you're putting on a front all the time, it must be sap up some energy.
Exactly.
It was all like pretty quick and rapid, really. But like doing good thing, doing good stuff. But going into Webmap, like technically, I was very, very, very strong with my history. So whenever there's any sort of technical things to address, I was getting pulled away from my accounts to help others, which I love. I actually loved that though. Like I was always itching to go and see how, because like we had a supply chain of like possibly around 50 printers working there, and so I loved to. I was always itching, like going abroad as well. Like I was did quite a lot of printing in Italy and France, quite regularly. It was quite good to go and see how they did it in Germany, and it's quite good to go and see how they did things over there.
Yeah.
Different places in the UK. Like obviously I'd had 8 years cocooned in one factory 2 miles down the road from my house, so
almost in printer's heaven.
Yeah, so kind of like learning all that as well. Then I ended up like almost creating a role for myself where I was like quality innovation manager. So I was in charge of internally helping people within Webmart like spec up jobs properly on the right paper and the right usage, and even like down to packaging, like how asking questions like how what's the customer going to do with that job when we've delivered it? Are they going to be keeping it in warehouse for a year, or is it going to be shipped off abroad from there? So kind of like putting stuff in place to help with all that, and then seeing which suppliers were doing new and innovative stuff. And it was a perfect role for me. And the only downside was that I'd still base myself in Scarborough. I was just traveling at the drop of a hat anyway, which was great. Again, great as a guy without any ties, and my relationship with my friends have always been quite independent. So it was all great. And there'd have been a point where I'd have said, right, let's try and move further down south. I'd have had to done something to move my career. But I could have said I was there for, could have quite happily said I was there for life. All up to the point where, well, in fact, when we found out we were having a son, I even thought then my life would change.
Yeah.
I ran to the point where he was born, and as soon as he was born, I was travelling. That's when the alarm bells started ringing. I thought, I need to get
mindset change.
Yeah. I need to be back in Scarborough. And it was like, shit, what do you do? And I thought, right, I can go back to Pindon and work on the presses, but then I'll be going back to working shifts, but with a young child in the house as well. So I'm like, right, no, if I'm going to go and do it, I want to take all this knowledge I've learned, I want to put that to use as well. So like, that's where like light bulb moment set up my son with us. So
I remember waking up 6 a.m. For a shift that I was starting, and I had about 10 or 15 notifications off Chris. And Mass and Brothers was a thing, and I was like, oh my God, he was sending me logos, colour schemes, all sorts. And it was pretty much, I think he did it overnight, night.
And, yeah. I set the business within 6 hours, bank accounts, HMRC, branding, website, Facebook pages, it's all ready to go. I just thought if I do not do this, I'm in danger of being trapped. And that 5 years of at Walmart have just been
for nothing.
Literally for nothing, apart from probably a box ticking my own head.
Yeah.
So, I remember chatting to you, then you went to bed that night. But we decided on Mars and Brothers because I'm like, I can't remember. Can you remember the conversation?
At the time, obviously, I was in full-time employment position that I was in near enough at that time, 8 years. And it was... We'd just had another baby ourselves, and it was at the time where it would have been virtually impossible for me to have any form of involvement. But it was always good to. I don't know if dream is the right word, but it was always good to know that maybe one day eventually me and you could work together. It's something that we'd spoke about probably 2 or 3, 4 years previous to Mars and Brothers even being a thing. We've always been creative and had an exciting outlook on the world. I think the possibility of working together excited me, and obviously with your vast print knowledge and stuff like that, I think it kind of, it's just happened, hasn't it?
I think I didn't want to go and do it and be a sole trader. I didn't, and I think I don't know. could have done it and been a sole trader, and then I probably could have done and been thinking about staff. Then I think of everybody, anybody in my friend pool, or anybody I know or come across, like I don't think I could have partnered up with anybody apart from you. You're 29, I'm 31 in 3 weeks. We've had that 29 years together.
Yeah,
to the day.
Yeah, I think we have such a good relationship as well, in the fact that we are best mates, and but it doesn't really take an impact on the day to day working of Marston Brothers, because it's two separate things now.
Yeah.
I think we have like a little. People say that twins are telepathic, and I think we're not twins. There's a couple of years between us, but we have that type of relationship where I know exactly how we are feeling. I know, even if I walk into the office one day and I think I'll leave him 10 minutes before I talk to him, I think vice versa. I think that type of like personal understanding is like, it's almost priceless. It's something that you won't get in other jobs, because obviously people that you work with in other jobs, they don't know you as well as we know each other, and I think, you know, that'll pay off eventually, that type of understanding.
And it's right, yeah, so I think that instinct is already paying off. Like, we've been on it full time together 2 months, and there's been times where I've just had to calm you down, times where you can calm me down within a second or two, the same like thing, which if I'd have been on my own, in fact there was times on my own where I've like been almost like smashing desk up at certain
times. I think there was a period as well where I was still working and you were pretty much full time, or your head was full time on Marston Brothers, and there was stuff that you were saying to me and I was thinking, nah, it can't possibly be like that, or it can't possibly be that bad, or but until I've come in with you full time, there's certain things where I think, bloody hell, yeah, I almost not feel sorry for you, but I almost think, yeah, Christ, he was right. Like, and then you went through a lot on your own, and the ride of the early days of a business you went through on your own, and I can't even imagine how that was on your own.
Yeah, but again, it's just. But you're starting to feel it now.
Yeah. Well, I'm feeling it in
because you've got like the industry. Like I was doing it all. Like I know the industry.
Mm.
It was just the business side of things, and being on yourself and like paying yourself, and the HMRC side of it, and stuff like, I don't know, even like working at Webmap when I was learning the business side of it, we had a full finance team.
Yeah.
Who were like, and if a customer paid late or didn't pay, it didn't directly affect me, they were just okay. So it was all like, it was all that side of it, which is ongoing.
All the sides of the business that you won't see on social media.
That's another reason for doing these podcasts as well, put some realism into it. Yeah. Like, so many people like, but it's good to see you both doing well, good to see you smashing it. Like, yes, take a step back, all things considered. We are doing well.
I think, yeah.
Hell of a lot, it's so early though. Hell of a lot to go. Like, there's so much.
I think that's embedded in our personalities as well. I think we know that from the outside looking in, people will be thinking, oh, yeah, they're smashing it. And like you say, we are, but we know personally that if it's a mountain, there's the top of the mountain. We know that we're still down here, and we're willing to climb. And I think, again, that's a testament to us and how we think and where we want to be.
Yeah, and again, which is why, say, we've worked with 300 local businesses now, and when you get chatting to them, you're all learning off each other. You've all got your own different stuff or different industry. But there is like a sense that everyone we work with is a sense of like our togetherness.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden, like, we going down and supporting businesses which I wouldn't have normally gone in.
Yeah, and I think,
because they're doing good stuff and we've got to know them, and we're helping them market themselves better, so they're doing well, and the better they do, the better it means we're doing. So
yeah, I think there's a part of us where if people have invested their time in coming to us for their print or their design or marketing or whatever. People have invested their time in us. We like to give a little bit back, like you say. It's it's almost like a natural reaction.
Yeah, like if we've done something for someone, we've got an affiliation to them now.
Yeah,
and that's you keep an eye out for them, you keep a lookout for them.
Yeah, and it's something that we always spoke about in terms of, we always wanted to create like a Marston Brothers like bubble or like a community.
Yeah, so the podcast helped with that. I think how we present ourselves on social media hopefully works with that. Want to do more though. I'm thinking an event, a social, like try and get everyone we work with and whoever wants to come down, try and get them all in one room and have a beer and help all them other businesses network with each other. In fact, we've already had it.
Yeah.
Where we just link two businesses together, and it's so, there's so much to get, like
people similar to our age group as well, where there's almost in an old fashioned, not old fashioned, but an old style of like networking. But now there's the social media side of it. There's people our ages that are coming into making their own businesses.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a different way of working. And a lot of people who are our age are setting up businesses. And I think it's good to talk.
Good to talk.
Good to get to know each other. Good to feel the pain together.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And also like from a town perspective, like we don't do work solely for Scarborough business, but like probably 90% of it is.
Yeah.
And it's so good to see all of that little businesses bubbling away doing good things, like often unheard about businesses as well, where I've got a thing like where the council will support like the same old names, or like there's certain awards with the same old names, and I think like there's some and stuff doesn't change for years and years and years, and it becomes stale. There's so many people out there now doing good, new, innovative things. I've got, like, I'm quite passionate about the future of this town.
Yeah.
And to be a part of that, like, just sort of like probably sat in the background on Toby's out.
Yeah, now
Toby's out going to come to Scarborough because we're here. But they'll come to Scarborough if we're helping businesses who serve them better.
Yeah.
So like your hotels, restaurants.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So no, it's all good. But yeah, what about talking about your path into self-employment? So yeah, just to be clear, we set up as Marston Brothers. I went full-time first. And we knew at some point Steve had be joining with us, but when we called it Marston Brothers and we set up with me, we didn't know if it would be like 6 months or 5 years.
Yeah,
or 10 years. We knew it would be at some point.
Yeah.
Probably happened earlier than planned, but
yeah.
I think it needed to. It was like a twist of fate, really. So
yeah, things kind of just fall into place. I think I'll start back right back at school. I think I absolutely loved art at school, and that type of like creativeness and being able to express yourself in that type of way really excited me. But I kind of fell into a trap where art at that time wasn't really like the in thing to do. I wish that I did go on to do art and design, graphic design, and go down that route, because I think I would have been good at it.
Yeah.
I came out of school with an A in art, but never followed it up. And I kind of didn't fit into the old college, university line, which 90% of people who leave school do now. It didn't suit me, didn't enjoy college. I did a year at Scarborough Sixth Form. It wasn't for me. And I went into employment, and I went into a well-known electronics firm. I'll say it. And I went in as a salesman, and I really enjoyed that. So I did that, and then I was kind of at a loose end where I was probably on the verge of losing myself a little bit. And I got a job at UPM Raflatac, who produce label stock, labels, sticky labels, basically. So I was in the production side of things for 10 years, and in that 10 years, I had various opportunities to move up the ladder. probably let myself down in some aspects in terms of, did I grasp the opportunities when they came to me? Did I get the best out of myself? Probably not. And I think that came with how young I was, a little bit of immaturity and stuff like that.
Yeah, you never learned by that though. Like,
yeah, and I'm not ashamed to say it at all.
If you're making bad errors of judgment or mistakes, it's the same ones over and over again, there's a problem there.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're making a mistake and you're learning from it, then it's not really a mistake. You can spin it into a positive.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I look at it all now as one big positive, most definitely. And I enjoyed my time at Raffle Attack, and I enjoyed my time in the production side of things. I learned so much. It was such a big company, different production methods, the sales side of things, and the eye for quality and stuff like that. That being in that environment has definitely not done me any.
No, it all stands in good stead.
Any harm whatsoever, but I became a little bit stale, and I think there was that inner, that creative side in me always wanting to come out, and I think I always felt in a way that I could offer more, and it probably got to the point where my time had maybe come, I'd exhausted my.
Yeah, similar to, I guess, me at Pin the first time around, where,
yeah,
you know, you get to the point where it's like, is this it? Is this me?
Yeah.
You're there with three kids,
yeah,
as well, back like driving, and like, I don't know, I felt like when I had kids after you, I felt like when I had kids I could have understood you even more than ever. Like, can you understand that feeling of being a father and that need to provide and show your kids a way and a path, yeah, and whatnot?
Which, yeah, my first child, pretty young into, when I was young, but pretty early into my Raffle Attack career. So you do get almost stuck in a little trap, because you think, oh, I've got house to pay for, child to pay for. Yeah. Like, this is me. But like, the older I got and the more mature I got, I think, actually, yeah, you know, I've got a lot more to offer here.
I think there'd have been a time though when those jobs, the type of jobs, you could go and earn a good living and afford. If you'd have been doing that in the '80s, you could afford for like one of, like, perhaps like your wife not to work.
Yeah, yeah.
And life's coming, so she's got the family life, like, you know, the home life absolutely nailed. You're dropping in, and you can be have a day where you're tired, or where you're catching up. But I think that them days are completely gone now.
Yeah, I completely agree with you with that.
Because when I became a qualified printer, the lads there were like, put your money into property. Put your money into property. And I'm not even kidding. Like, the blokes now were buying property at £14,000.
Yeah.
Earning more in the '80s than they are now.
Like, yeah, a lot of companies that type of size as well. It'd be almost the hinges were off, unlimited overtime and stuff, yeah, like that. Like, it's a different type of living.
But in all this millennial, the big national millennials a nightmare argument, that gets forgotten, like the cost of housing between like the '80s and now.
Cost of living altogether now.
Well, yeah, cost of living. So yeah, like, but like, mum was part time when we were kids. Grandma's were retired earlier.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all, it all propped up the own life.
Yeah.
But yeah, like right now, anybody, like absolute fat, like, comment if you are and listening to this, anybody working full time with kids, like,
yeah.
Let's open up, be honest, like right underneath, tell her, like, back us up with what we're saying here, because it's all part of why we've
such a fast paced life.
Yeah,
it got to the point where I was working shifts, and my wife is a nurse, she was working the shifts, and then there was the kids that in between, and
yeah,
I could never see myself doing another 10 years in that environment and getting frustrated in a way. I always felt that sometimes in that type of environment, it's a factory culture thing, if you like, but I always felt that you could never really be yourself. not, I wouldn't say two different people, but you could, you can't express your way, your ways like I can now.
No, because you've got a job, you've got a job role to fill, so you've still got, you have to clock in, and you've got a role to fill, and you need to make sure that job's done, and you've got middle management to answer to, and they're under their own pressure because they've got higher management directors to answer to. So yeah, you just, and because of that, and because of how companies like ourselves, you're a number, you're part of the machine, and you get the odd manager who might warm to you a bit more than others, and it's not all completely you're a number, crack on with it.
Yeah.
But generally, like, you are.
Yeah.
Well,
Simon, too blunt, you, that's how you feel as well.
Yeah.
So Marston Brothers got set up, and I had another 2 years at Rafa Sakwa. You were churning away at it, absolutely, like everybody else is smashing it.
And blood, sweat and tears.
But I always kept an eye, like, I always knew what was going on.
Yeah, you've had some, like, you,
in a way, I had a good overview or a good insight of what the business was all about and what you were up to. And I just got the opportunity to leave, and for whatever reason it felt like the right thing to do at the time, and
it was getting to a point where if it weren't going to be you, I was going to have to go and find staff, which wouldn't have been the I wanted the first person to be you, so.
And I think for the first time in my life, even the short time, the 2 months that I've been here, I've been able to express myself, I've been able to be creative, and I've been able to be myself. And I think in some part of your life, when you're working and it's a grind and things like that, at some point in your life everybody needs a little bit of that, and it's healthy.
Yeah, and you must feel better.
Definitely.
But look, now though, I suppose, like, one thing like I always had faith in you being part of this business, but we're you've been involved 2 months now. To be sat here now in front of this, like, doing a podcast, I probably didn't think was possible at this stage. I even thought it might be like 6 months in. So I think in terms of that,
I think it's like
you've been like let off a lead. Like you said earlier, we're not Ant and Dec.
Oh yeah, but. We're a long way from being, I'm going to say, a long way from being Ant and Dec.
We don't aspire to be Ant and
Dec. But yeah, we're not. we're a long way. We're not blowing our own trumpets. We're very realistic in where we are at. But yeah. I think
we're two different personalities though, and I think we're fusing together quite well.
Yeah.
To I don't know. Like, I feel like the platforms there, we've got a good local customer base. What next? Who knows? Like, we're in charge of our own path, really.
Yeah,
take it as like far as we want to take it. But the minute we're enjoying that roller coaster, which it is. Mm. So yeah, just to sort of like wrap up, there's a bit of like background and insight. If anyone is setting up, and like, we've got a nice office with an extensive range of cold drinks. And a nice coffee machine.
Yeah, we've got a nice coffee machine, but there's a slight operation problem with the two people that are making the coffees.
Because we don't drink coffee, it takes us a long time. But we try.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to say is the door's always open, so even if you're not necessarily buying from us, reach out, come in, let's have a chat. We can help each other, like, genuinely. Again, like, we're so early in it, but we've also been through a lot as well, so, and it's just good to
probably
talk.
Even though we are early into it, like, we're on a nice steady growth, it probably is the right time to speak out. Like, each phase is a different learning curve,
which is why we continue to do these podcasts. So we just need a break from it to in a nutshell, like, we are still, we're in the startup phase of a business, and each podcast probably takes a full day out of my time to by the time we've recorded it and edited it and put it out there. And I think sometimes the result, like, it can be quite rushed, but we're going to revamp it and we're just opening it out to you guys. Anyone who's still listening to this 45 minutes in, just let us know. Tell us.
Yeah.
tell us.
It's something that it's been quite surprising to us because we're based centrally in Scarborough. The amount of people that you bump into and they're like, oh, keep up the good work with the podcast, guys. Me and Chris look at each other and say,
yeah,
why have they watched it? It has been surprising.
Because, yeah, well, on this series one, like the average overall listenership, is that a word? I just invented a word there, listenership.
We'll go with listenership.
Let's have it. But it's around about 400 an episode, and you think, like, yeah, in terms of all these, like, bloody influencers and stuff, it's not massive. But then if I think if it's 400, like, quality people listening and getting some out of it, like,
yeah,
we'd have 400 family and friends, so it's definitely going beyond that.
Yeah.
Probably the family and friends that are listening to it, they're probably like sick of us on a day-to-day basis, but
yeah,
I think I'm proud of that. I think it's pretty good, and yeah, like you say, like, random people like stop you in the street and say, I've listened to your podcast
quite nice in a way. Even went on a night out in Scarborough and I'm in the toilet and even people, you're having a wee next to me, like, oh yeah, I've listened to your podcast last night. We're like, well done. And you think, all right, yeah. And then I think that, yeah, that's nice to hear, and happy people are listening, and we will come back with a different version, and hopefully a better version, because this is all new to us, and we'll come back with something new.
Oh yeah, yeah, we've enjoyed it, yeah. But we'll yeah, look out for unlike Alan Partridge, we've been given a second series.
Yeah, we've been given a second series.
Give ourselves a second series. possibly as well, toying with the idea of like sacking the video off and just doing it on as a podcast. But like, again, like, feedback welcome on that.
Yeah, it's a shame we've not got sexy voices like Vin Diesel.
But yeah, just to reiterate, if anyone is out there wants to come have a chat with us, or if you want to come on and do a podcast chatting about their journey in business or career, I'm not restricting.
Choose your own theme. Come on, yeah, and choose your own theme. Give us a platform to work with. Like, we're open for ideas.
Yeah. If you've got something to say, come on and say it. We do not bite. So yeah, last week we put a post out on our social media asking for questions regarding this podcast. We had a lot of really, really funny people.
Yeah, a little bit of tomfoolery, I would call it.
Which I guess was to be expected. But Mr. Drew McCoubry, I think, asked a real legitimate question. Who's the most good-looking Marsden brother? And here we are at 9:30 on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Both very knackered.
In our loungewear.
Awaiting for Domino's to arrive. I don't know. But
I think it goes without saying.
It's probably me.
Brains. Looks.
We let the listener decide.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, Drew. Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers. And is that us ending podcasts? Yeah.
You what?
Is that the end? Yeah.
This is the end. Titanic music or anything like that.
So when we ordered the Domino's and said, oh, we'll only need 20 minutes, we're now 50 minutes
50 in. Minutes in.
Domino's still in here. But enough. Thank you.
Good night.
And God bless.